have a topic that was all prepared, and we talked about it this morning. We've been talking about what I call the Kane syndrome. It was advertised on the Blog Talk as this idea of Kane and gain and core, and what was the problem with Kane? Well, obviously everybody knows that he bludgeoned his brother to death and he killed him, and he went out of the presence of God and went off and started this city-state called Enoch, or named after his son. They're really talking about a characteristic of mankind that haunts us still, like generational sin. It just keeps coming back. And a lot of people say, well, I don't bludgeon my brother to death. I don't hit him with a club. I don't kill him. And so, therefore, I'm not like Cain. But the reality is there's a lot more Cain in all of us than we realize, which, of course, is why in the last century, millions of people were killed by their brothers, by their neighbors. Even in the last decade or so, we've seen some of the brutalities in some of these countries that have been in civil war, where people had lived next door to each other for years and years, and then all of a sudden, because of racial or religious or political reasons, they go about and there's huge mass graves in those communities now. And that's really the tip of the iceberg, because it wasn't the little part of the iceberg that the Titanic hit that sunk it. It was that massive amount of iceberg that was under the water and all in that water that when the ship hit it, it didn't give, and it ripped a hole in the side of the ship and caused it to sink. And that's actually what we're facing today as a society, is that this characteristic of Cain, what we call the Cain syndrome, is pervasive throughout our society in very small amounts, but in every community. And it's extremely dangerous, and it's just lying there under the surface. So during a time of crisis or calamity of nature or whatever, economic collapse or whatever, that Cain syndrome is going to raise its head, and we're going to see a huge amount of devastation and destruction at each other's own hands. And so anyway, we talked about this idea of what a syndrome is, and I kind of love that word because it has the sound of sin in it, and although it's spelled differently. But one of the definitions was it's a pattern of symptoms that characterize or indicate a particular social condition. And we went through the fact that Cain was this individual who tilled the soil, compared to his brother who was a sheep herder, who was a shepherd. And we talked about the two different kinds of words that were used there. The word till is actually the same word for serve, but it's a different serve. There's several different words for serve. And it has to do with this, you know, when you plow the ground, you till it. You actually turn it over. And that turning over, plowing through the ground, is an act of force and energy, moving the ground. And when it talks about him tilling the earth, the word they use for earth is this word Adama. Well, that's the substance that Adam and Eve were made from, is Adama, the clay. But in reality, they're not really talking about clay. They're talking about people. Whenever they're using that word Adama, they're talking about we're all made out of dirt, all of us. And this idea of forcing that clay into the shape and position that it wants is part of that Cain syndrome. And we do that every day in the societies that we create, is in order to make our societies function, in order to sustain our societies, to take care of the needy of our society, to educate the members of our society, we actually force the people to contribute in order to maintain that society. And that's tilling the people. That's plowing the people. That's compelling. Until John the Baptist the kingdom of, they say heaven there, but it actually means kingdom of the world, was established by force, by compelling people to do what they should do, which is to take care of their neighbor, protect their neighbor, defend their country. But that isn't God's plan. That's Cain's plan, to create that civil society in which you force your neighbor. And what happens is when we live in a society like that, that spirit of Cain begins to find a place to live in us. And it changes us and changes our society. And then as our society changes, we change. We see the same thing in agriculture. We go out, we use pesticides to kill the insects. We use herbicides to kill the what we call bad weeds. We have somebody staying with us and working with us, and his wife has knows a lot about wild plants and what's edible and not. And we said that she could go and get, she likes to eat raw vegetables, and so we said she can go and take anything from our garden that she wants anytime, because it's a long ways to the stores. And the, some of the first things she's picking is the weeds, because all our weeds are edible weeds. Just about all of them. There's a couple in there that I would not advise you to eat. But they probably have a purpose, too. They probably have a value, too. We live out in the desert, so you don't have a lot of places to get mulch and stuff. So when we pull up a weed, it's you know, yesterday's weed is today's mulch. We use weeds as mulch. People say, well, don't you worry about the seeds? Well, you know, we do have a weed problem coming up in the garden. You always do. Even with mulch, you will have some weeds coming up. But the fact is, over the years in the desert, you know, that when you pull a weed up in our garden, the whole thing comes up. And there's different methods in which you do this. But it's about this idea of giving life rather than taking life, working with the environment that you have. Working with the resources that you have and working with it rather than trying to force everything to come about the way you want it to be. And in a natural situation, you can only exert a limited amount of force, but in a civil society, you centralize that power in the hands of a few. And we also talk about the Saul syndrome, which is when you had a good man like Saul, who voluntarily went out and defended justice at every opportunity. And the people became lazy, and they said, well, we don't want to go out. We don't want to deal with all this stuff. Saul's doing a good job. Let's give him an exercising authority. Let's give him power. And they centralized the power that was supposed to be maintained in each house in this pure republic called Israel. And they centralized some of that authority, some of that power to choose, in the hands of one man. And it corrupted him. It changed him. He could not bear the burden of that temptation. And this is the same thing that goes on with Cain. But Cain has taken it a step further. And now, in order for him to maintain his position like Cain and Lamech and Nimrod, he has to give some power to men underneath him, appoint men underneath him with his same nature, who want to exercise authority, want to force you to do things right, or what they think is right, what they think is good. Problem is this gets you farther and farther away from God until you don't even know what's good anymore. I mean, if you watch, I saw a video not too long ago, The Future of Food, which talks about genetically modified products and foods, and they're showing you how they do this. Now, I knew that that was a bad idea to begin with, but there's a huge multi-billion-dollar industry that's working day and night with huge amounts of resources to develop food types that will actually poison you. They're already poisoning livestock. They're already poisoning your dairy herds. They're becoming more and more unfertile because they're eating genetically modified corn. You're becoming more unfertile. You're becoming less healthy. Some of the animals, the ruminants that are eating these plants that are supposedly herbicide ready, are actually producing insecticides even after they consume the plant. The enzymes that produce that are actually still producing the insecticides or the poisons, the toxins, inside the belly of the cattle or sheep. And we have problems in many countries where the cattle and sheep are dying from eating plants that are grown in this way. And the chain reaction is going to be devastating eventually. But people can't, it's very clear. You can talk to microbiologists who are some of the top in the world, some award-winning microbiologists who are talking about and explaining how bad this is. At first, some groups were saying it was a good idea, but now more and more voices are coming out against it. But you don't hardly hear them unless you actually go out and work to hear them. EPA, the Agricultural Department, are not responding because the money powers, the centralization of power, is so great that the damage is being done at a tremendous rate. Vast areas are growing these kinds of foods now. But, of course, that's another problem, is we have centralized the production of food. We need to get back to growing our own food, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not going to go back that way because we have been infested with the spirit of Cain. Now, some of us are, and some of us are trying and seeking. So what is this Cain syndrome, this desire to force others to see things your way, to do things your way? Well, that's heavily infested the churches, heavily infested the churches. You got Baptists, you got Methodists, you got Catholics, you got Presbyterians, you got Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists. You got all these different denominations, and you got to do it their way because they see things right. They've got it clear. They have discovered what is good and evil. And they are imposing their religion on other people. Now, they don't go out and force it, but if you don't do it their way, they'll separate from you. But what are they talking about? The essentials? Are they talking about their created doctrines and dogmas? Oh, because they have figured it out. All these churches that have figured it out, they actually have more in common with Cain than they do with Abel. Because in their day-to-day life, in their relationship, one of the major aspects of our relationship with each other is based on government. You go to government schools. You get government health care. You get your retirement, Social Security, is going to be from the government. The government is today in all these countries, all around the world, are like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, like Cain. And that's where you go and you pray for your daily bread. That's where you go and pray for your Social Security. That's where you go and pray for your salvation from the dangers and calamities of the world. The funny thing is that most of the calamities of the world come by way of these same groups that you're praying to. I mean, how many people were killed during World War II? Now, they talk about 20 million Jews and Gypsies were killed during the rise of the Third Reich. But how many were killed in the Soviet Union, who was our allies, during the allies of the United States? More millions were killed under Stalin. During World War I, 3% of the casualties under World War I were civilians. 67% of the casualties in World War II were civilians. This is a product of the Cain syndrome, of the idea of the Saul syndrome, which is just an extension of the same, the idea of forcing righteousness out of your neighbor. In the kingdom of God, you don't have to do that. You just have to seek righteousness in your relationship. You have to come together, not forsaking the gathering together, so that you can live righteously, so that you don't have to pray to men who force your neighbors to contribute to your welfare. If you're in a society that condones or does that, if that is the central point of your society, it is that, if that is the power that you serve in your society, is one that forces the contributions of the people, the one that sustains a society by the sword, that's what they do. Everybody says you have to pay taxes. You certainly do have to pay taxes, but are you paying taxes in the Gentile governments that we are not to be like, or are you doing it in the kingdom of God? You see, all the Christians, when you became a Christian, you were cast out of those systems. You no longer had to fund those systems, the Temple of Saturn, where they register your birth certificate. You didn't have to fund that anymore. Anyway, so we were reading some of the quotes in the Bible and talking about these different places in the Bible where it talks about this same thing. In Hebrews 11:4, where it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaking." Again, what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice is that it was from this tilled Adama. Adama, that's the people, that's us. And Abel's was a shepherd who is simply a carer, a keeper of sheep. He takes care of them. He provides for them. He protects them. You know, if coyotes come, he protects them. If there is a shortage of food, he guides them to where there's food. He leadeth them beside the still waters. But Cain is going to sustain his society by forcing, by compelling everything in a straight line, so to speak, according to the will of his own plow. In 1 John 3:12, we see, "Not as Cain, who was the wicked one, who slew his brother," which is what it eventually comes down to, which is why we have had these wars every couple of decades. And we've been in wars now in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we'll probably be one in Iran. And we've been involved in the ones in Libya, and we're constantly, and then we do this as the United Nations, so we're bringing in Canadians and English and Dutch and everybody else into these police actions, which is why Rome was in Judea to begin with, and would not have been in Judea if the people had not rejected God and elected a central leader to do what they should do as a society. And this is what we talk about in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. How can you have government without a centralization of authority? Well, you cannot have government in order without the centralization of authority if you are not going to do what Christ said, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. If you're not going to do what Moses said, love thy neighbor as thyself, only the people that are willing to love their neighbor as themselves, who are going to seek righteousness rather than loyalty to a particular group or leader or anybody. Your loyalty is to righteousness. If you will do that, then you do not need to centralize power. And automatically, power will begin to decentralize. But when Cain realizes that he is losing power, he will resist that. But that's okay, because God will be on your side. You see, if you're on the side of Cain, if you decide to centralize power as they did in the Voice of the People elected Saul, if you decide to do that, that's considered that you've already rejected God, and he says that this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and they've all happened in societies all over the world, including the United States, especially the United States. And he says, and when you cry out, knowing that eventually you will cry out, and some of you are already crying out, he will not hear you. Because you had already rejected that you not be ruled over by him, but you wanted to be ruled over by somebody else. Of course, when you did that, you made that choice, You thought you would elect this really keen guy who would keep you safe and protect you. He would only go after the bad guys, and you gave him all this power, and he was corrupted by it. We aren't meant to have that kind of power. We are meant to have enough power to do right in our lives. But in order to be the body of Christ, you need to do that righteousness as a body. You need to have cellular communication. You know, it's amazing to look at your human body. It is composed of millions and millions of cells, individual cells, each having a life of its own, connected together, but yet individual cells. Actually, when one cell realizes an immunity, I'll say that in that term, realizes an immunity to an invading substance, it will communicate how it did that to the next cell who has never come into contact with this foreign pathogen. And it will communicate to the next. It's called cellular communication. Even though the cells are independently living and surviving, as a body, they are communicating and connected. And then you have blood cells that are bringing food and oxygen. You have white blood cells that are fighting off pathogens. I've got this wonderful video of a white blood cell actually stalking and hunting down a pathogen in the body. I remember once when we were visiting a church, the daughters of the pastor wanted to put something under their little microscope. And so my wife offered a little bit of blood, and they put it underneath the microscope, and you could actually see the little blood cell moving around. It was probably a white blood cell. It was a little bit larger than the others. It was moving around, and it was actually traveling, like swimming around for a short time. And I actually said, oh, that's terrible. And they thought, why? I said, because it's going to die. It's been separated from the body. It's not going to survive outside the body. And yet it's still trying to do its job with its last breath. Because it's an actual identity. Every cell in your body is an actual identity of its own, related to you, related to every other cell in your body. That's why we have so many of these immune deficiencies, they call them autoimmune diseases, because it's an identity question. You know, your body is turning on signals that are turned on because of stress, usually because of stress, usually because something is going on in your life outside of the realm of what should be going on. Maybe it's not your fault that the stress is there, but somehow you are a victim of that stress. Just like Abel was a victim of his own brother. And this is bringing about these diseases. So you need to turn back to this righteousness in everything you do. It's amazing what will happen if you start turning back where you're caring about others more than you care about yourself. You can actually turn off these autoimmune diseases. But it takes a action equal to that of what brought you to the point where you have, your body has overreacted and you've become, you know, you've developed these diseases, what we call diseases. It's just like the prodigal son goes away. In order to go back to his father, he has to go back the same way he came. He went away. He has to follow that way back. And so if you've gone to a place where you've turned on certain genetic traits that are causing you illness, you have to go all the way back the way you came. And what we've done is we've become like Cain. We think that we're right, they're wrong, we have to change them. You know, I talk about the kingdom all the time, but I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm not trying to convert you. I'm not trying to make you different than you are. I'm just pointing out where you've gone and where you're at, explaining the environment in which you're in. You're in a society that is sustained by benefactors or men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You're not in a society established by Jesus Christ where people care for one another through faith, hope, and charity. The little bit of charity that you do in your churches is just a token charity in order to make you feel good about all the wickedness that you're a part of. You say, oh, well, I'm not a part of any wickedness. If you send your children to public schools, if you obtain benefits from those men who exercise authority one over the other, everything that they do and the ministers of that government does is sin upon you. They talk about, come out of her, my people, lest ye be partakers of her sin. So a lot of people want to break the chains that have bonded them to that society. They want to nullify the contracts. They want to rescind the contracts that have made them subject to the Pharaoh. But who wants to undo all the way back? You want to go all the way back. How did you get there? Because you coveted your neighbor's goods through those benefits that they offered you. Or some of you went into these systems because of ignorance. But unless you want to create a society that sustains itself through faith, hope, and charity, I'm not talking about the guy who just wants to run across the desert naked and yelling he's free. I'm talking about sustaining society, providing for your family, providing for the... If in your body the cells decide to go their own way and do their own thing without maintaining the identity of the whole body, we call that cancer. We call that lupus. We call that AIDS. Because you created this autoimmune disease. You have a rebellion in your body. Now, you yourself may not think of yourself as a rebellious individual, but somehow or other, you've been sucked over into this Cain mentality. And your body is disoriented. The cells in your body are disoriented. They don't know what's going on, and so they begin to actually attack each other. It's like a gathering of Protestants and Catholics. They'll be attacking each other instead of being claiming the same God, but attacking each other because neither one of them have the identity of Christ. Yeah, but both of them claim Christ as the head. But they're murdering each other. They're killing each other. Now they get tired of it after a while, and then they do something else, but then they're probably killing Bosnians or somebody. But the reality is this is what's going on. We have this whole disconnect throughout the world. We have this whole identity crisis, you know, like that. This is why Paul has to say there are no more Greeks, Romans, Jews in the body of Christ. All those identities are creating an immune reaction that causes nation to go and rise against nation, which is just one of those symptoms of the Cain syndrome, where you'll be killing each other by the millions. That's what we've been doing for centuries now, killing each other by millions. Now, there were wars way back in 800 and 600 AD, because there's always been evil around, but not wars like we do today. Not this massive, we saw this about 1,000 years ago with the rise of the beast, where they were able to put massive armies, you know, 10,000 men, 100,000 men, into the battlefield. And they could do this because of the centralization of power. And these men would march like orcs and yurikai, if I may use that analogy, into battle, doing whatever they are told, and drop bombs on homes and cities and kill women and children by the millions. And call it patriotism. Because they have an identity crisis. They think they're German. They think they're French. They think they're English. They don't know that they're man. Each of them having their own little leaders. Not being a body. You know, the Catholics in Germany were killing the Catholics in France because they thought they were Germans. Or the Protestants in England were killing the Protestants in wherever, I guess in Austria, because of an identity crisis. All these things, they just keep repeating themselves over and over again. And this is, how are we conquered? How are we made to think that we are somebody that we are not? How do we have this sense that, oh, I need to go over and kill these guys? You know, when I was a young man at the time in Vietnam, and I was actually going to join the Navy, had an appointment to Annapolis, but I couldn't sign the paper. My hand wouldn't work. And I backed away from that. I figured I was going to be drafted, and eventually I was drafted, and they were going to send me to Vietnam to kill Vietnamese. I was supposed to distinguish between North Vietnamese and South Vietnamese, although they both looked the same. That was a common poster that you would see. It'd show a picture of a Vietnamese guy standing there on one side, same exact picture on the other side. One would say South Vietnamese, this is your ally. The other one would say North Vietnamese, this is your enemy, and it's the same guy in both pictures. But the point is, I was supposed to kill these guys, and I thought, like, why am I supposed to go over there and kill these guys? You know, and I didn't understand it at the time. I later talked to one of the heads of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, actually the head of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. I rode with him on the way to Rhinelander one time, and he said he was at the meeting with Eisenhower when Eisenhower decided to have a series of brush wars in Southeast Asia for the purposes of stimulating the coal and steel industry. That's why you were there in Vietnam. I was supposed to kill North Vietnamese Gugs in order to stimulate the coal and steel industry in the United States. Because it wasn't to spread democracy, not that I would want to spread democracy. It wasn't to establish a republic. It wasn't defend freedom. Not in the slightest. It was to make money for somebody. And of course, now that I've read Samuel 8, I realize that that's exactly what God said was going to happen. He's going to make his instruments of war. He's going to take your sons to run before his chariots. That's exactly what happens. It happened in Vietnam, it happened in Korea, it happened in Afghanistan, it happened in Iraq. And I don't know where it's going to happen next, but it's going to happen again. And why? Because you have an identity crisis in the body of mankind. You think you're a U.S. citizen. And you think you're North Vietnamese. And you think you're an Iraqi. And that's an identity crisis. So therefore, now when you see other men, you say, oh, well, I'm supposed to kill those guys. That's the enemy. It's a cancer. This identity crisis is a cancer. That's what a cancer cell is. It's a cell going to do its own thing, and it becomes an enemy of the body. It reproduces, and it's no longer reproducing in a uniform manner. No longer creating a lung, it's creating a tumor. No longer creating bones, it's creating a tumor, a cancer. And that's what's happening to the society of the world. And there's a reason why it's happening. And there is an intelligence behind it all. We call that Satan. But the fact is it doesn't matter who's behind it. No matter what part you play in it. So we eventually got down to talking about, you know, like Jude 1:10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brutes and beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. That's what you're doing. You become the beast. You think it's okay to go to public school because you pay into it. Even though it may cost $6,000 per student, and you don't pay anything like that, so the rest is made up by other people. Even though that if someone can't pay their share, setback because of business, because of money matters, because of health reasons, your ministers will go to his house and drag him out and throw him in the street and take his house and sell it to somebody who will pay so that you will have enough money to send your kid to school for free. That's a brute. And the beast depends upon your apathy and your participation in order to be that way. And it will not change until you turn around and start homeschooling. Next week we're going to have Colin Gunn, who's the guy who produced the film Indoctrination, or at least he starred in the film Indoctrination, on our Liberty Radio Live show. And I'll eventually make that available to you, too. And so it might be interesting to you to tune into that. Genesis 25:30 says, Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Red pottage, the word pottage isn't even in the text, just the word red, and that is the word Adam. What was one of the temptations of Christ? That he was going to turn stones into loaves of bread. What are the stones? Stones are the ministers of the altar, living stones. They're telling you something about that. Even the old altars of Moses, those were living stones. Even the altars of Abraham, tell you the truth, were living stones. A gathering of stones is a gathering of friends. And Abraham had lots of friends. That's how he was able to defeat a whole army of five kings who came about conquering places like Sodom. And he just went to save his nephew, and a whole army followed after him because he had lots of friends, because he had lots of stones. These are the ministers of their social welfare system that operated by faith, hope, and charity alone, the most common form of government throughout man's history, almost unheard of today in our times because the Cain syndrome. We have a plague of Canaanites and Cain-type people. Canaanites actually are merchants of men, they traffickers of men. They're the ones who have brought you into bondage. But that word red there means Adama. He wants you to turn men into food for him. And he's willing to sell his birthright to get it. And he says in Romans 9:13, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." Why? Because he's willing to sell his birthright for benefits. One of the most common and pervasive characteristics of modern society. People sell their freedom, their rights, for benefits that are provided at the expense of their neighbor by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority and force the contributions of the people. That is anti-Christ. It is anti-God. It is anti-Moses. It is anti-the prophets. And that's why we read in Revelation 2:15, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Nicolaitans, Nico, conquered, laity, people, which is the same as the error of Balaam. Balaam, conquered, Lam, people, or Am, people. It's the same thing. That's why those are associated. You have to read our article on Nicolaitans on at hisholychurch.org. What you can do is start changing the way in which you relate to society, start taking care of one another, start providing for one another in an organized bodily type system, just like your body is organized. Start developing the identity of your society based on righteousness. That's why you just seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not upon doctrines, not upon eschatologies, not upon man-made civil societies, whether it's ecclesiastical or civil, it doesn't matter. As long as you are seeking righteousness, that's where your loyalty is to be. You will begin to find a new identity in Christ and become a new spirit in Christ, not pretending it with emotional outbursts at some exciting evangelical church, but actually in reality, where you live, you'll start becoming a part of God's government. But anyway, we're getting close to the end of time. There was a couple other quotes in Jeremiah 44:3, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger. What wickedness? You know, coveting their neighbor's goods, for a start. And then hiring men to bludgeon their neighbors, to force their neighbors to provide for them, which is what we call government today. It's not the government of God. I'm all for government. But I'm talking about the government of God, where you do not force your neighbor. If you have something extra and your neighbor doesn't have enough, you get to decide to share or not. You want charity in your community, but you want charity that strengthens the poor, not weakens it. But he goes on to say, provoke me to anger in that they went to burn incense to serve other gods. Gods are simply ruling judges. You have lots of them. There are gods many. And they're all over this country and every other country all over the world. Even the word burning incense, you know, it doesn't just mean incense. It means what you are sacrificing. It's what you give up. It's your taxes. That's your offering. And serve. Again, it's that same word that is translated till. It's the other kind of service. It's service when the pastor serves and takes care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity. But the serving they're talking about here is this tilling service. Work. It's also defined as work. It's translated work, service, servant, even worship. But in the kingdom of God, your service, your contribution is faith, hope, by faith, hope, and charity, not by force. In the world, it's by force. But anyway, we'll talk more about that next time. Hopefully, I'll be on time.
We'll be on you like white on rice if you're not. Next week, Brother Gregory will be here at 3 Pacific time, so we hope you'll join us then. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you for being patient with me. I hope I won't do that to you again.
All right. Well, you have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining us here today at Freedomizer Radio. We're going to take just a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.